Good morning. Today's scripture reading is actually two portions. The first one is found in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, and then we'll flip backwards to Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 to 24. James 2, 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we just thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your word that until now we have the freedom to read together and to study. And Lord, we also thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here to help us to understand these words and to see their relevance in our personal lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to not merely rely on our confession of faith, Lord, but to also put our faith into action, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch each of our hearts this morning and help us understand what these words mean to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Religions and their leaders in general totally depend on the faithfulness of their followers and usually demand blind faith and usually have an ask no questions policy. Most religions are built around a leader or an idea, and generally salvation or whatever that religion offers comes by works or good deeds. Do this and you'll be expected to do more, or you'll be accepted in our community. Do the other and you will gain some points, if you wish. And finally, if you do enough good works, you will enter into the kingdom of God. Most religions offer that. I started by speaking about religions in general this morning, but in the text we read, we heard much more than just religion. We heard about good deeds or works. In the next few minutes, I will be speaking about Christian faith and its author and leader, Jesus Christ, who, unlike all other religions or religious leaders who are either dead or mortals about to die, Jesus is alive and in control of all things. I was born in Greece, where Christianity, Greek Orthodoxy, is a state religion which teaches that salvation comes by good deeds. In other words, justification by works, probably based on the writings of James. The verses we read this morning are perhaps the most controversial verses in James' letter. That's because James, our Lord's brother, emphasizes works when he says faith without deeds is useless. And in verse 26, when he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, these verses are commonly misused to support the doctrine of we are saved by faith plus works. This is called synergism, from the Greek word which means working together. In other words, they believe that we must trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but that is not enough to save us. We must also add to His work on the cross our own works to complete our salvation. It is true that the portion we read in James can be entitled justification by works, because there is a sense in which we are justified by works. In fact, in order to fully understand the truth of justification, we should clearly understand that there are six aspects of justification. Justification means cleared from blame, just as if we have never done anything wrong. That's what justification means. We are justified by grace. Romans 3:23-24 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Grace here simply means that we do not deserve to be justified. In fact, we deserve just the opposite. We cannot pay our salvation, no matter how hard and how much we work. It is God's free gift to us. We are justified by faith. Number two, first, we are justified by grace. And then the Bible says we are justified by faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the human response to God's grace. By faith, we accept the free gift. Faith makes God's salvation our salvation. Jesus Christ will bring justification to all those who believe and trust Him. So first, I'll be repeating this, so it will stay in our mind. We are justified by grace. Second, we are justified by faith. Third, we are justified by blood. In Romans 5:9 says, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Here, blood is the price which had to be paid for our justification. The price of sin was paid by the precious blood of Christ. No, we're not saying there are five or six ways to be justified. There is only one justification. There is only one way to be justified. But the Bible makes it very clear that there are some things that happen when we are justified, or before we are justified. We are justified by grace. We are justified by faith. We are justified by blood. And number 4 says we are justified by God. Romans 8:33 says, it is God who justifies. The truth is that God is the person who justifies. He justifies the ungodly sinners when they come to Him through Jesus who paid the price. Number 5, we are justified by power. The power. Romans 4:25 says, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The power of the resurrection. Our justification is linked, connected to power that raised Christ from the dead. His resurrection proves that God is satisfied and the price has been paid for our salvation. No matter what people say, no matter how people try hard to say that God is dead or God doesn't exist or God is nowhere to be seen. And even now the ads, I just read in the news that next week, starting next week, on the buses will be this great big sign, infamous sign saying, maybe we doubt there is God, or maybe there is no God, therefore enjoy your life. And I made a comment this morning in our adult class, and I said, if there is no God, why are they so anxious to prove that there is no God? Why are they spending millions of dollars, first in England and in other countries and in Toronto, and now they're coming in Montreal to say that there is no God, therefore enjoy your lives. If there is no God, don't waste your money for nothing. But because the devil has declared war against the children of God, against the church, you see now the devil becoming bolder and bolder, only to give us more opportunities, if we take advantage of these, to talk about God. This will be an opportunity now. Every one of you probably will be approached by someone because you know you are a believer. And because they know you are a believer, they will come to you and say, hey, did you see that sign? There is no God. What are you doing there? And you'll say, oh yeah, really? Then how come someone is trying to tell me there is no God if there is no God? And then that will help you start a conversation. Please use this opportunity that the devil has come up with to destroy the church. We will take advantage and talk about God. There is power when you are connected with God. So number 5 was the power of God. Number 6, we are justified by works. And there has been a lot of controversy. There are those who will say, no, we are only justified by grace, and that's so true, because we are justified by grace. It is the gift of God freely given to us. But just believing that that is a free gift, just believing in God, just believing that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of men, just believing that and the other and all kinds of other things that these things don't make us a believer. We must reflect. If we become and when we become a Christian, we must reflect that change in our life. And that's where the works or the fruit of our salvation is seen. We are justified by works. James 2:24 says, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Your works do not save you. They only reveal the faith that brings salvation. Works are the outward proof of the reality of our faith. They are the outward expression of the inward change, which otherwise would be invisible. Works is the result of faith. You cannot have one without the other. Works is the result of faith. How can you say you believe in God? How can you say you've been born again? How can you say you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? How can you say the old person has died? How can you say that you are now a member of the family of God and spend your time in the family of unbelievers? How can you say you have been washed and your sins have been forgiven when all you reflect is the old person? And if that new change that you claim to have and that regeneration, that transformation, that metamorphosis is not seen in your life, then that those words are dead, good as dead. And I know there are a lot of debates about when does salvation come in and when salvation stays and goes and all kinds of things. All I know is we have these two hitters in the church today working hard and giving us some heat because they've been plugged into the electricity, because there is power coming from the line, electrical lines to these hitters. And we have the evidence of power. You cannot see the power. If you turn off the lights, and if you turn off this, disconnect these radiators, you will have no power, no knowledge, no understanding of the power in the church. But when you plug them and you feel the heat, when you see the light, then you know that there is power and you know that there is something happening in these appliances. And I believe a Christian that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a born again believer, I've been saved, I'm a member of a church, I'm a pastor, I'm a reverend, I am a doctor so and so has, and there is no evidence of that salvation, of that change, people will question that testimony, will doubt the testimony. And just words without action, without results, without the fruit, are useless. I hope you see in these six points I made that a person is justified by grace, by faith, by blood, by God, by power, by works. Yet there is no contradiction at all. And please don't go out this morning and say, what is he talking about? I thought there was only one justification, grace. Yes, that's true. But as that light on the wall is only a light, there's only one light, but it does take a bulb and the socket and the line and the power to make that light bright and light. These statements simply present different aspects of the same truth. Grace is the principle with which God justifies. Faith is the way by which men receive it. Blood is the price the Savior had to pay. God is the active person in justification. Power is the proof, and works are the result. James insists that a faith that does not result in good works cannot save. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. A faith without works is not real faith at all. It is only a matter of words. James is not saying that we are saved by faith plus works. To hold a view like that would be to dishonor the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What James is saying is that we are not saved by faith of words only, but by the kind of faith which results in a life of good works. Good works are the result of our salvation. And if our salvation does not result in good works, then someone will question that salvation. In other words, works are not the root of our salvation, but the fruit. How can someone claim to have faith without any evidence of his or her faith. James is writing to believers who had heard Apostle Paul preach that salvation is by faith. But they had forgotten that faith expresses itself through love and works. As a matter of fact, James compares the person that claims to be a Christian and has no works with a dead body. No matter how beautiful a dead body is, it is still dead. No matter how impressive someone may be with his outward Christian looks and talk, unless there are deeds and life in that person's life, he or she is spiritually dead. Faith and actions must work together. Is your faith and actions working together? If not, either faith or works is missing. You must have both to be able to be happy and fulfilled Christian. Believing in God only is not enough. James says even the demons believe in the existence of God and tremble. Faith without works is head belief, and therefore dead belief. Faith that saves is an active, obedient faith. What God wants from you is not only to believe in Him, but to live in Him and work for Him. Many call themselves Christians on Sunday, but forget it on Monday until next Sunday. I hope you are not a Sunday Christian only. I hope that you are practicing your Christian faith daily. Just remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:19-21. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. No one doubts that there is a tree. No one doubts that there is something that looks like a tree at the corner here. No one says that I don't see anything, but the question is, what kind of a tree that is? Is that a plastic tree that we have in our church here, the two trees? Is that a tree in the garden that bears no fruit, therefore is a useless tree? Or that is a fruit-giving tree that will at time, a few times a year or once a year, give fruit for everyone to enjoy? Jesus won't ask you if you believe in Him. He knows you do. He would want to see your deeds, the evidence of your faith, if you call yourself a Christian. Do you have evidence of your salvation and faith in your daily practice of being a Christian? I believe that every one of us should look into our own life and say, and ask the question, actually, am I giving any fruit? Is there any evidence of my salvation? Some of you have watched Fireproof, the film, and you even recommend it to others. Just because that couple was married did not mean that their life was happy until they started seeing in each other the evidence of that life, that love. I may say to my wife, I love you 100 times a day, but unless she sees the evidence of that love, these are only empty words and will get to her nerves because I don't mean them and there is no evidence of my love. If I tell my children or grandchildren I love them, and if they don't see any evidence of that love, they will doubt my every word and every action during the day. If I tell people around me I'm a Christian at the office, at school, wherever I am, and I'm a member of a church, and I'm an elder, and I'm the pastor, and they don't see any evidence of that change in my life, they'll called me a hypocrite, rightly so. And if I have a tree in my garden that I call an apple tree and there are no apples ever, then that will be a foolish thing to do. God expects us, yes, to accept His free gift. We have been saved through the grace of God, by believing in God. We have to accept that gift. But that's not enough just to accept it and say, yeah, okay, I accept your God. Yes, I can see your gift. We must receive that salvation. And when we receive that salvation and we are born again, that the result, the evidence of that change will be our love toward other men and women, our love for the church, our love for our neighbors, our love for those who are going through a spiritual turmoil or difficulty, and also the evidence will be our devotion to God and His work. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us the free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus, it cost you pain and suffering and death on the cross. And Lord, often we take all that sacrifice for granted. Please forgive us. Strengthen each one of us. And may, Lord, may your will be done in our daily life. And may we start reflecting your love and your compassion and your holiness in our daily life. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.